Amen. Thank you, Meredith.
There's lots of things today in our worship for you to feed upon. First of all is our walk, our journey, this Lent time. I've had to talk to a few people, because I'm not smart enough to know everything in this book. So I asked them, what is Lent? Do you know what Lent is? My secular buddies, with their understanding, said, why, it's the place in New Orleans where the Mardi Gras is, and there's parades, and there's people dressed up as Indian princesses and chieftains, and there's drinking and carousing, and they throw beads if you do certain things and take off certain parts of your clothing. And I'm going, no, that's not Lent. But the secular world does believe that. They do believe that. And then there's this peculiar habit. It's actually biblically based. After Fat Tuesday, which is absolutely all the food, drink, and carousing you can do, after Fat Tuesday at midnight comes Ash Wednesday. And the tradition in the Bible was a time of relenting or pause was a time when ashes were placed on the forehead and your regular clothes were taken off. Literally sackcloth or a very rough fabric. That's Ash Wednesday. Any of you here wear ashes on that Wednesday? I didn't. Did you?
No, not this year, but I have.
Have you? Good. I have too.
Yeah.
It's actually a great conversation starter. Lenny, there's some dirt on your forehead.
I know.
Why is there...
I'm a believer.
There's a look. Okay. I saw some people on Ash Wednesday. Did you? So that is the signal for 40 days of a time much like Advent. But this is Lent. It's a time of waiting for something new. 40 days. Have you checked it out? 40 isn't a magical number, but 40 is a number in the Bible. There is some sacred meaning to it. Let's move from the secular world of Mardi Gras to the sacred world of 40 days. And 40 years was the journey in the first three books of the Bible of the Hebrews. 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Some would argue they were slow learners. They didn't get it, so they had to keep wandering for 40 long years. But then it comes back to us in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And it says, Jesus, upon his baptism, left for 40 days. 40 days in the desert. And you know what happened there? He was transfigured. And the verse that Meredith read to us today is the transfiguration of Christ. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. There's one more 40-day period. Do you remember when it is?
40 days, 40 nights, as far as the rain, the flood.
Noah, 40 days and 40 nights, waiting in the stinking ark with all these smelly animals, going, good Lord, where's my salvation? What was I thinking? And there's one more 40-day period. We don't talk about it much. We're going to enter it at Easter.
40 days from the resurrection of Christ, the dead man that the Romans took care of, for 40 days Jesus was seen by thousands of people. So this isn't some story. It's actually historically validated. 40 days of seeing Jesus after he was dead. And at the end of those 40 days, he ascended into heaven. That's Ascension Sunday. We celebrate that as well. Let's remember those in context. And I'm going to read a second verse. Thank you, Meredith, for reminding us of the transfiguration. In the 40 days, I believe, I'm not a biblical scholar, but in those 40 days before Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and his crucifixion, his murder, a lot of stuff happens real quick. The pace of the gospel speed up in those 40 days. And in chapter 9, the start of the chapter, Meredith read the transfiguration in verse 28, but the very start in chapter 9, verse 2, we pick up Jesus in a reflective mood. He knows some of this stuff is going to happen. And here's what it says. And Jesus sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no backpack, no bread, no money, no extra tunics. The King James Version says, only take one coat, not two. These are specific directions from Jesus. And then here comes the catch. When you go on this journey, he says, quote, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave the town. Stay there. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. Wow. Take nothing for the journey. So just as Jesus was transfigured in verse 28, he's trying to transfigure us here. At the start of the chapter, he's asking us to be transfigured. He's trying to paint us a picture that Ray is working on, a picture of some beauty and some amazing clarity. So I want to welcome you once again to worship. On the second Sunday of Lent, 40 days before Easter, we're in a time of dedicated reflection, of giving up old ways. I don't know what your ways are. My ways are typically pretty impatient and pretty straightforward and kind of get stuff done. I'm trying to give up impatience for Lent. So I'll confess that to you. Catch me on it if you would. You'll see me impatient sometimes. But I want to give that up because biblically, this 40-day period is a symbol of something new breaking forth. Now, some people could say it's spring and it's the Easter Bunny, but it's bigger than that. It's something new breaking forth. Our very souls are seeking the sacred. The sacred in a secular world. That's Jesus' charge to these these 12. Isn't it good to give up the secular for just a moment? That's really why I come to church, y'all. This is a place where I can be who I am, and it doesn't matter what car I drive up in or what coat I wear. I can be together with people who are sacred for just that hour. It renews me. You see, it transforms me from the secular to the sacred. And that's what God's love does. God's sacred love sometimes surprises us. Today we hear God sending us out. Send us out to meet our neighbors. Remember what Jesus said before all this? He said one simple thing. I give you a new commandment. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbors. Do you recognize God in your neighbors? Do you recognize God in the people that speak at you on TV? It's hard for me sometimes. It's hard to recognize the sacred with all the things that clutter up my life. And I got stuff. You know, it's really true, isn't it? We all trip on stuff in our lives. And it may be the physical stuff that we surround ourselves with, or it may be the bags that we carry psychologically, that luggage, that those suitcases that my grandma gave me, the stuff that I carry, the stuff that gets in the way of me having a relationship. You see, stuff doesn't just collect. It causes a detour in our life journey. Jesus knew it. Don't you do it? Don't you clutter your life with things that you really need? Or think you need? Or maybe it's just things you desire. But Jesus asks us in Luke 9 to do something different. He says, I'm sending you out with nothing. Nada. Nushed. That's what my grandma used to say. Nothing. She'd say, nushed. Sending us out with nothing for a journey, the most important journey of our life. Luke 9 reminds us God's true freedom is about traveling light. Check out two ways to the journey. First, a question. How's it going? How's your life journey going right now? I want to acknowledge, folks, there's twists and turns and there's curves and there's detours. And I've had a few U-turns in my journey. It's hard. But for a moment, let's set aside your journey and measure your journey against my high school friend, Gary. Gary is a good soul. I may have talked to some of you about Gary. He's a good person. Yet somehow he got lost in life's stuff and life's clutter. Never lucky in love, Gary decided to marry his work after his third divorce. I didn't stutter. It was his third divorce. And after that, something happened to Gary. He broke community. He got busy. He buried himself in life's stuff. He was so busy that he didn't talk to me for 7 years. You see, somewhere between his second and his third marriage, he gave up on God. He gave up on community. Gave up on relationship, and he decided to make millions in the oil business. It's down south, they say business. So he did. He took a detour from the sacred journey. And by the way, Gary was fabulously successful. Why, he bought a new mansion. I couldn't keep up with him. He changed addresses. He bought boats. He bought big pickup trucks and buried in riches and stuff. He started feeling hollow. So Gary did something surprising. He started reading about Jesus, and he softened his heart. All of a sudden, Gary started reaching out to others. Why, he even picked up the phone and called me. He invited me back into his life, and now I get the pleasure of watching Gary give generously. Those millions he made, he's giving generously to family, friends, even strangers that he meets. He loves people again. And surviving his journey as a single father, Gary raised a beautiful son, a wonderful, thoughtful human being. And now he has this beautiful grandbaby. Not only that, he takes it seriously with his family. He supports his ailing sister. She moved from Alaska to be with him, and he pays the medical bills for his sister's terminally ill husband. Gary gives endlessly to just about anybody in need. He got humble. He began again, and he left the stuff behind to join the journey. Here's another perspective. Let's look at Luke 9, verse 2. Here's the scene. It's before the crucifixion. It's before the transfiguration. It's just Jesus and these 12 honyakers. You know what a honyaker is? It's a Scandinavian term for jokers. Kind of losers, right? There's 12 of them. They're losers. They don't get it. They've been with him for 2.5 years, going on 3. They don't get it. I like to think it's the 40 days before he's crucified that this little conversation goes. He says, "Let's sit down, guys." He speaks clearly, and he blesses them simply. He says, "Go. Leave your stuff here. Go and do 2 things. Share the kingdom of God and take care of the needy on your journey." I don't know what your journey's going to be, but go. He could have been talking to Gary, my friend, or he could have been talking to you or me. You see, Jesus was trying to get us to live into a faith beyond things. Get us embracing vital lives and do it in community. The song Judy led us in, "Go 2 by 2. Don't do it alone. Too tough to do your journey alone. Go 2 by 2, and when you get to a town, look for the community there. Maybe it's just a house, but do it. Go." And then Jesus cautioned them. He says, "You don't need any stuff to make a difference in this world. Because stuff drags us down. Stuff drags us away from our God. Jesus said it simply, quote, "Take nothing for your journey." Do you think your life is what you own or what you wear or what you drive around and live in? Not so much. Your journey, the real journey, the sacred journey away from the secular, that sacred journey is about sharing and living out the kingdom of God. Do it daily. Trust God and love. Love the journey of your life. You can't love anybody else until you love what you're doing. God will provide, Jesus said. And that's a leap of faith, isn't it? We rarely take that leap of faith in this culture. In a life filled with wealth and comfort, you know what we do? We hide God behind our glitter. Have you noticed that? It's our stuff. And when people ask us about our stuff, we tell them about our stuff. We don't tell them about the God who provided it. Jesus was simply speaking about a new world. And he was speaking about what we could do to preserve, to renew our very souls. How about the disciples? What did they do? If you read between the lines, they flat out didn't believe him. But they went anyway. They did as he asked. And in turn, Jesus showed them Easter resurrection that they could believe in. He actually asked them to resurrect themselves. It's time to close. I'm going to invite you today. I'm going to invite us today. Let's walk through Lent different this year. Be honest. We're all fabulously rich. I know each one of you. I've been to your homes. We're fabulously rich. We're wealthier right now than anyone Jesus knew. Isn't that interesting? Yet, how do we live? We live lives mostly in fear, not in faith. It's the prayer Tim lifted up today. We're listening to a lot of fear right now. Where's the faith? What do I worry about? Oh, gee, I worry about our church paying bills. I worry about my house having enough stuff in it. Mary and I were just talking on the way down about some more stuff that we could do to our house. Worry about our retirement income, don't we? How are we going to live when we don't have full-time income? What we don't do is we don't listen to a Jesus who owned nothing when he died on the cross. He didn't have a 401k. He didn't own a car or a house. Jesus, judge him if you will, Jesus didn't even leave his mother an inheritance. Remember what he said from the cross? John, you take care of my mother because I don't have any worldly goods. But he did leave something better. He did leave us a legacy. He did leave us a calling. He taught us, walk each day joyfully and hopefully because you don't have to worry. He taught us, pray thankfully, because you got a God of infinite love and grace. And when you least believe it, that's when you get it. And he commanded us to step out on that journey. Every journey begins with the first step, doesn't it? Take one. Treat every human being you meet today with dignity. That's how we treat our neighbors. Those are fundamentals, folks. Those are the roots of our faith right there. Those are the roots that Ray sketched last Sunday. And today, I bet she's going to add to that tree of life. I bet she's maybe going to add a trunk to that picture. The very strength that we seek. So don't forget, please don't forget one thing. The sacred exists within us. It's not out there, folks. So quit looking for it. It exists within us when we show the face of a loving God. That's all we need for the journey. So leave today with this final thought. Jesus asks us, live abundantly, share God's journey, your journey with others, and do it joyfully. My friend Gary, he heard that call, finally. And the disciples, well, they're a little doubtful, but they acted on that call. How about you? Remember, we're on a journey together. Others watch us. They want to know what we do. They want to know what we stand for. It's time we live our lives like we really mean it. It's time we live fully in the present without fear of the past or this dread for the future. It's time we live life as if God was watching. What does that mean? Take nothing for the journey. There's nothing here you can take except your faith. Walk in faith. And by the way, if we're not welcomed, Jesus says, journey on. Live joyful lives. Act as if the kingdom of heaven has come to earth. And your journey, your individual journey, and this church's shared journey transforms the secular, the unbelieving, the unknowing into the sacred. And I want to invite us to that. And I hope the people that aren't here, you grab them and you tell them, hey, we want to invite all of you to do this because it's important in that journey. I pray your journey looks different this second week of Lent. Shake off the dust of old life from your feet. Take nothing on the journey but the love of God. Show others the renewing grace of God today. Hallelujah and amen.